so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
But we believe, amen. Go with me, if you will, in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Chapter 47, verse number 1 says, "Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from the under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside of the outer gate that faces east, and there was water running out of the right side." I could preach right there on prophecy a little bit, but I won't. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water, and the water came up to my waist. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned there, along the bank of the river were many trees on one side and the other. And then he said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. And when it reaches the sea, its waters are healed." My God. Its waters are healed. "And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the river goes will live." My God, somebody say, let the river flow. Let the river go wherever I go. Let the river come to wherever I am. Because wherever it touches, it shall live. "There will be a great, very great multitude of fish because these waters go there. For they will be healed." Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, heal our mind, heal our bodies, heal our relationships. Let the healing flow into our lives and into our families in the mighty name of Jesus. "Because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes." Hallelujah. "It shall be the fishermen will stand by it from the Engadin to Iglim, and they will be places for the spreading their nets. Their fish will be the same kinds of the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. But its swims and our swamps and marshes will be healed, will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. Along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine." Hallelujah. "It will be fruit will be for the food and their leaves for medicine." Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Your anointing, your word is already anointed. Now anoint this vessel in the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. The church is wherever God's presence is manifested. Wherever His presence meets with His people and the Holy Spirit fills that church and that empowers them so that God's grace can flow from the church into society that is broken and bring about a real change and a real restoration. Now, today I've been preaching on the series, Restore Us, O God, Part 7. I started it the beginning of the year. Water in God's house. Now, water can be translated. Water can be, it's a typology of the Word, but it's also of the Spirit. And can I tell you, wherever the Word goes and His Spirit goes, there will be healing that goes there with it. The Spirit of God and the Word of God brings healing to whatever is ailing you. That we need this in our lives. We need churches that want to influence society for Christ, that want to see the blessings of God working in the and overflowing from the church into our city and into the culture around us. But even though this may be a church's sincere desire, there are prerequisites that we must meet as God's people, His church, if we are to see God's power flowing from our church and not just in our church. Then we've got to meet the requirements that the Lord has placed on us. I don't want us just to be a healing pond, but I want us to be a healing river, one that you cannot cross. I don't want to just be a place where people can come and get healed. I'm thankful for that, but I want us to be a church, a living, breathing organism, that when we walk on the streets of Crystal River, that God will be reach out and touch people, and they will know that this is the place where they can find focus for living. And when you touch their life, healing comes, restoration comes. But we've got to make sure that we're in the flow where God wants us. The church, the house of God, can be compared to the White House. The White House and its resident has a lot to do with what goes on in a country. It has a lot of power to influence what is done in our society. And so it is with the church, but in much more greater sense, because the church's residence is Almighty God, who sits on the throne in His temple, but is also with us. Many Christians understand that their bodies, my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. My body is a sanctuary for the Holy Spirit to dwell in. And so we got to understand that the White House is far more than a residence. It symbolizes the person and the power that resides within its walls. The president inside the White House is a physical representation of the power, authority to the entire country. Can I tell you that the church should be a house of God that represents the power and the authority of Almighty God? We should spend a lot more time being concerned with what's going on the inside of God's house than what is going on inside the White House. What we need to be more concerned. Let me tell you what's going to fix America, what will fix Ecuador, what will fix Nicaragua, what will fix every nation, Uruguay, what will fix them is not a new government. It is not a man in the White House or a man in this house. What will fix it is when God fills His house and when God fills this house. That's what will fix our nations. A church that truly engages God in pure worship doesn't just mean that we come and have good preaching and have good singing, but we truly engage God. True worship of the Almighty is more than well-prepared sermons or catchy songs. These things are ingredients to good worship. However, the key to experiencing and humbling approaching God, American society is obsessed with entertainment. And we want to be constantly entertained, whether it is television or a sports event. You know, Pastor Steve talked about buying tickets for Jackie Velasquez. We're not making any money on it. They're doing it all. We're just providing the venue. But what gets me about Christians is we don't want to buy a ticket to a concert of a Christian artist, but we'll go to country artist and any other kind of artist. We'll pay $65 and $70 just to go watch a few men run up and down the sideline with a football. And when we gonna fuss if we gotta spend a little money for something Christian? And then you fuss that there ain't nothing good to do out there that's holy. Woo! Bump your neighbor, say he's talking about you right now. A good worship service is not an entertaining service. A good worship service is when the Holy Spirit and you collide. A good worship service is when you engage God and God engages you. We are believers, or we as believers, need to realize that we are not the audience of worship. That role belongs solely unto God. When we sing up here, I remind the worship team, they're not singing to you, they're singing to God. We might have an audience of 200 this morning, but the real audience is an audience of one. The real audience is one. Is my worship pleasing unto God? A worship service cannot be successful unless God is encountered and God is experienced, not just talked about, but I want to experience God. I want you to experience God. I want you to engage God. And know that you've been in the presence of not a preacher, not a comedian, but you've been in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He's touched your mind, He's touched your body, He's touched your relationships, and you are better because of it. The difference between singing and hearing about God and actually experiencing Him is the difference between reading a book about the Grand Canyon but then climbing down into the canyon to experience it. Our churches must experience true worship and let God flow and work through our midst. That's the only way that God's going to move and flow through the midst of our society. Now I've got about 15 minutes to give you 6 points. Point number one is this. God is bigger than the sum total of everything He made. Hey, my God. He's bigger than all the sum total of everything He's made. He's bigger than your situation. He's bigger than your successes. And He's bigger than your failures, my God. He's bigger than the good times and He's bigger than the bad times. God is greater than the universe in which He made. God made everything that we have, yet He is even more than we have and or see. God is bigger than our minds can comprehend, so no building can contain Him. He is everywhere, all the time, at all places. But He does manifest Himself in different ways and in different places. There will always be more of God than we can ever know. When you think you got God figured out, trust me, you don't. When you think you know everything about God, you don't. We can't ever discover everything about God. No matter what you know, and no matter what the scriptures reveal, there are still more to God than you could ever comprehend. Our little finite mind couldn't handle it. We couldn't handle everything about God. Point number two is this. Churches are to fulfill their divine mandate. We have a mandate. What is our mandate? Our mandate is to preach the gospel. What is our mandate? To let people know that there is a better way. What is our mandate? Our mandate says that you might have tried it 100 times in different ways, but once you try Jesus, when you try Jesus, and don't not just try Him for a day, but you come to Him just as you are, broken, dirty, whatever it is that you're dealing with, you come to Him just the way that you are. He accepts you the way that you are, but He loves you too much to leave you the same way He found you. He picks you up from the miry clay. He puts your feet back on the rock to stay. He'll do a work in your life if you will just put yourself in His hands and let God do the work that only God can do. I thank God for professional counselors. I thank God for therapists. But let me tell you, the greatest counselor, the greatest therapist is a touch from the Master's hand. The one who created you. The one who formed you in your mother's womb. The one who knew that you were fearfully and wonderfully made. Hallelujah. The church is God's house. The church doesn't belong to an area. It doesn't belong to a denomination. It belongs to God. The church is where we experience God's reality and His manifested presence. The church has a higher purpose than entertainment. The church is where we encounter God. Not where we come to be entertained. Nothing wrong with entertainment. But if we come to church and are more entertained than we are touched, then we've come for the wrong reason. Hallelujah. The audience for the service is the living God. And it is His church. Point number three is this. The purpose of the church is to experience God. The purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is not social programs, which I believe in. The purpose of the church is not where people can hone in their talents, which I believe in. The purpose of the church is not just so that we can just come together and have a social club. The purpose of the church is to be a place where we come and encounter God and God engages us. Come on, somebody. The point is not to help us feel better. We come to church. Oh my God. The purpose of the church is not just to make me feel good. The purpose of the church is he comes in and I elevate him, because he said if I be lifted up, he would draw all men unto me. The purpose of the church is for me to lift up his praise and lift up his glory, because here's what I know. When God steps into a situation, when God comes into a situation, he said I inhabit the praises of my people. So as I elevate God, God begins to elevate me out of my situation, above my circumstances, above my situation, as I worship him. The experience inside a church ought to affect what happens on the outside of the church. The point is not to get what you want out of it. We come to church and many times, well, what's in it for me? Well, sometimes not much. What's in it for you is to elevate him. What's in it for you is you get to meet him. Hallelujah. Listen, I remember when I was dating Sherry, I would drive 3.5 hours just to have lunch with her. She didn't give me no sugar then. I was just letting her know, girl, I want you. I was just trying to let her know, girl, I'm going to wear you down. I was letting her know I'm interested. Not only am I interested, but I want a relationship with you. One, right now, we might not be kissing, but if I keep acting like this and working on you, we're going to be kissing and some other things pretty soon. Come on, somebody. I had a plan. When I come to the house of God, I come to the house of God with a plan. I didn't come just to take up time. I didn't come because I didn't have anything else to do this morning. I didn't come because I got 8 hours and I'm ready to go somewhere now. I came so that I could have a relationship with the King of Kings. I come so that I might know him and that he may know me. I come that he might wrap his arms around me. I come that he might wrap his arms around my mind, where he can elevate me as I elevate him. Hallelujah. Coming just for the sermon or the music is missing the point. God inhabits the praises of his people. And so therefore, I think I have this, Steve. An empty church building can't be a house of worship. Let that sink in a moment. An empty house or an empty church can't be a house of worship. Because for true worship to happen, the house must have something in it other than just air. If only you are there, it's enough to have church. If just you are there, it's enough to have a house of worship. If you worship. The problem is that too many of us have a theater mindset at church. When you go to the movies, you're ready for a couple of hours of entertainment. Matter of fact, some of us do better at movies than we do at church. Because we'll sit in a movie for 2 hours, having to go to the bathroom about 30 minutes in it. But we won't move in case we miss something. We come to church, have to go to the bathroom 4 times before it's over. Honey, you might need a healing. But at a theater, you're just a spectator. But you're not a participant. Most people, until lately, go and buy their concession, settle into a comfortable seat, and ready for a fun night. And after the film is over, they critique the movie. After the movie's over, they talk about what they liked and what they didn't like and whether it was worth the $10 it cost to get in. They critique the movie. I hope to God that's not what you're doing this morning. I hope you didn't come just to critique, because we got all kind of sources of critiquing can go on up in here. But what we ought to do is we come, and it doesn't matter what's happening as long as God meets me here in this building. You see, the problem is that too many believers go to church with that same mindset. But in a worship service, we're not simply spectators. We're participants in the act of worshiping God. What we see in a movie is not real, just a professional performance by some actors. But may it never be said that in the house of God that it's not real. It's just put on by some professional actor or a professional preacher. But let us have the mind of God, the heart of God, that when we come in, that we say, God, I without you, I can do nothing, but with you, I can do all things. Huh. Cotton candy. Sweet, delicious treat that many people enjoy as they go to the circus or the carnival, the fair or a sporting event. It's light. It's fluffy. Texture disappears quickly as it melts in your mouth. Or even on your hand, you're left with nothing at all. Some folks come to church hoping to get some spiritual cotton candy. Oh, preacher, give me something that tastes good to my lips, but by God, it'll be gone by the time you get out the door. Ah, it'll disappear. It has no nutritional value. It just tastes good. It feels good. And you feel like you've done something. But just a few moments later, you'll still be hungry. A few moments later, you'll still want more. It'll still leave you lacking something. This ain't the movie theater, folks. They want quick, sweet taste. And to say that they got something, but it's just fluff and it disappears quickly. May it never be so. We need spiritual substance and long-term change, not a church carnival full of cotton candy. Number four is this. Point four is we can't experience God more if we don't go farther with Him. See, the problem is so many of us, those of you who go to the beach or to the river, you ever go there and just... You see the people. They just like get ankle deep. Ankle deep. And you know what ankle deep is good for? Splashing. Ain't much good for anything else. Knee deep, more splashing. More splashing. Maybe it'll cool you off a little bit. Then waist deep. Oh, I could talk about your reproductive organs. Come on, somebody, but I won't go there. I'm gonna leave that for another sermon. You get the water on your reproduction, my God. You get the Spirit of God, and then you begin to reproduce what you are instead of what you want to be. Come on. I could preach there, but I ain't got time to hit that. I got to go on. So, but what I want to do, I don't want to just be at the beach, sitting on the beach on the side, getting some sun, about to have heat stroke. I want to get in the water. That's the way I am. Too many people trying to go to church and just... You in church, but... I want just enough of God so I can go to heaven, but not enough of God that it's going to change my life. I want just enough of God to cool me down, but not mess up my hair. I want just enough of God that it will be refreshing, but not life altering. Just enough of God that it will change me a little bit for the moment, but not last. Our relationship with God is made to grow. You're not going to draw closer to God if you don't follow Him. And the problem is we follow God from afar. But what happens if we do that? We become Peter, who begins to warm himself by the world's fire. Boy, I could preach right there. My God, I'm getting all kinds of stuff I could preach. Because that's what happened to Peter. The Bible said that Peter followed from afar. And remember, he warmed himself by the fire of the world. And so what we want is we just, you know, we want to get saved and we want to go to heaven, but we don't want to be fanatical. A fanatic is just somebody who believes in something more than you. That's all it is. We're too satisfied with the trickle of water instead of a strong flow. And my God, and I'll tell you why. Because too many of us ain't learned how to swim. We just want to walk, but we don't want to swim. Can I tell you that once it's over your head, it don't matter how deep it is, as long as you can swim. So you need to learn how to swim. You need to learn how, it's getting too deep. No, it don't matter how deep it is. Learn how to swim. You see, you can't stay still and experience God if God hasn't blown your mind. You haven't followed Him long enough or even far enough. God blew my mind. He constantly blows my mind. God said He will do abundantly above all that you ever ask or think according to you, His riches and glory, Ephesians 3:20. Sometimes we have to swim to where God wants us, not walk. Oh my God, I could preach right there. See, some of us want to walk there so that every step is sure. My Lord Jesus, are you listening to me? I'm talking to somebody. We want to weigh every step. Yeah. I can see it. It doesn't matter what you can see. Because to get to where God wants some of us to go is we got to swim. And we won't be able to touch bottom. And we won't be able to feel something solid under us. But what you don't know is you're still in the hand of God and He's got you. But you got to learn and be able to swim to where God is calling you. Am I making sense to you? See, sometimes we have to swim there. When you train someone to swim, you have to begin them in the shallow end. And in the shallow end, good Lord, I'm going to have to go back and listen to this because I'm giving myself all kind of preaching material that ain't in my notes. In the shallow end is where you walk. And that's where most Christians abide. And when the water gets about right here, we start backing up so the water can go back down. But God said, I got rivers for you to swim in. Some of you wonder why you ain't healed yet. Maybe it's because you ain't deep enough. Some of you wonder why you're still having struggle. Maybe because you ain't deep enough. Some of you wonder why this still going on in your life. Maybe it's because you ain't let go of the shore and let the current take you out into deeper waters. Because God said that once you get into the deep waters is where the healing begins. Hey, you got to leave the shallow end and swim the deep end of the pool. Too many Christians who start in the shallow end of their faith stay there far too long. They don't reach even a portion of their potential in the Lord. Start swimming with God and get out there and put your spiritual training to the test. You can't get where God wants you just by treading water in the shallow end of life. Well, but what if the Lord requires something of me? Trust me, He will. Because there is no gain without a little bit of pain. There is no gain. There is no forward movement without overcoming inertia. You got to bust a move. You got to get out of that same old. You got to get out of that. I got to hurry. I got to quit. Number five, God is coming back for us. I don't know if you heard me, but I want you to know loud and clear. I may not know when, I may not know where, but God is coming back for his people. Hallelujah. He's coming back and we need to welcome him. God doesn't spend time where he's not welcome. He's not going to make anybody worship him yet. But there's coming a time when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. There's coming a time when all of heaven and all of earth will bow down and begin to worship. But that's not now. He will not make you worship him yet. See, listen, we need to make a deal or a big deal over our big God. God is waiting on us to do what we're supposed to do. We wouldn't keep a dignitary waiting, so why do we keep God waiting? God is looking for true worshipers. John 4:24 says that the true worshipers will come out and worship him in spirit and in truth. Everything and everyone one day will worship him, but maybe not today. Point number six is this, and I'm done. God is looking for people who are all full of him. Full of him. Huh. He wants people who are swimming in his depth. He's not looking for surface level followers. You know, many of us need to be like my daughter Lauren. Now, what do you mean? Hang on. My daughter Lauren, when she first got her car, she got nervous when the fuel gauge got to half. She started looking for a gas station. Ooh. What are you doing, baby? I got to get some gas. Well, honey, you got a half a tank. Oh, I don't want to get caught somewhere where there ain't a gas station. I want to keep it full. And I went, my God, somebody hear me. That's where you and I ought to be. We don't want to get caught halfway somewhere. We want to keep things full. I'm not looking to be quarter tank or eighth of a tank. I want to keep it full. Be full of God. And if you'll keep it full of God, when the bad things come, you don't have to worry about it because you're still full. He's not looking for surface level followers. He doesn't want a trickle of worship, but a submerged life of worship. Christians shouldn't have to beg to speak to God. You ought to just be able to talk to him. But here's the problem. I'm trying to quit. 10 more minutes. 10 more minutes. That's an inside joke. Here's the problem. You know, this is Ken right here. And I want to talk to Ken. I can talk to him right here. But you know what? It gets a little bit more difficult for me to talk to Ken on the other side of the wall. Now, I have a microphone, so it's a lot more easier for me to talk to Ken and him hear me. But if I didn't have this microphone, he probably couldn't hear what I was saying. And some of us are trying to talk to God on the locked door, on the other side of a locked door that we haven't allowed him to open yet. Some of us are trying to talk God because we wouldn't do what we were called to do. Some of us are trying to talk God because we wouldn't lay down that habit. We wouldn't lay down them friends. We wouldn't do some things that God's told us to do. And you're trying to talk to him from outside the building. Why don't you go ahead and come on in the building? Why don't you let him come on the inside and say, here I am, God. Speak to your servant. Hallelujah. I got to quit. Fireplaces are small contained areas, but their heat has an effect on the house far beyond the immediate location. That's the way you and I ought to be. He wants our fires to be blazing hot so that wherever we go, the wood gets inflamed by his spirit. The Dead Sea is the body of water that this text talks about. Of the river flowing into the Dead Sea. Now, the Dead Sea is a unique body of water in Israel to this day. It is the lowest point on earth, which means water flows into it, but not out of it. See, I could preach right there for a little while. I don't know if you caught that. Water flows into it, but not out of it. And the problem with some of us is we have preaching flow into us. Worship flows into us. But we don't ever let it flow out of us. You need to be like the old little song. I'm a little teapot, short and stout. Here is my handle. Here is my spout. And Lord, as you pour into me, I'm going to pour out to everybody that comes around me. Everybody who needs, who's hungry. Everybody who's thirsty. I don't care what they look like. I don't care what they smell like. I don't know where they've been. I'm just going to pour it out. It's water. The Dead Sea's water is so salty and chemically laden that nothing can live there. A person can float on top of the water because the salt content is so high. Absolutely no fish, no wildlife can be sustained because of the unique makeup of this water. God wants His people to experience His reality, not just come into His building. You know why the culture is dry and dead? Because there's no water coming out of His sanctuary. The Lord of this universe is not just waiting on you to show up and sit down, but He's waiting for you to show up and worship Him. He's waiting on you to make a big deal about Him. The culture is not in the church, but we should be so hyped about what takes place in the church that we are affecting the outside of this building. Listen to me closely. I'm not talking about being weird. Here in America, we have some of the weirdest Christians. I mean, they're just serial Christians. Bunch of fruit, nuts, and flakes. But I'm talking about being real. That wherever you go, life goes with you. Wherever you go, healing goes with you. And you don't walk around. You just be the person God's called you to be. You know, hardly ever do I introduce myself to anybody in the church or outside the church. Hello, I'm Bishop Ronnie Reed. Hey, I'm the regional bishop of this area in the Church of God. Because you know why? Most people don't give a rip. And you know what? I don't really give a rip. I forgot the one title. I've been introduced. The chairman of the State Council of Florida. Who gives a rip? Somebody needing Jesus don't care about my title. And they don't care. What they want to know is, can I find healing? Stand to your feet. My God. I did pretty good. I went over a little bit, but I did pretty good. Spirit Life Team, come now. Yeah, 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 yeah. Ooh. Hallelujah, Lord. Pastor Cash, help me. Here's what I want us to do. Whether if you come forward, I know that our family focus hour is beginning. But if you're tired of being around the shallow end of the pool of life in your spiritual walk and you're ready to launch out a little deeper, would you just step out of your seat and join me up here? Now, if you want special prayer, they're here to pray with you. But I'm asking you, if you're ready to step out a little deeper, just join me out here. Join me down here. Come on. You're ready to go a little deeper. They don't have to pray for you right now. You're ready to go a little deeper. Come on, that's some others ought to be coming. I'm ready to go a little deeper, Lord. Ha! Come on now, lift your. If you want prayer, go to one of these. If not, just come to the altar and stay back. Come on, lift your hands.
Death could not hold you down. You are the reason.
Come on, engage him. Come on, engage God.
Seated in majesty.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.